didn't belong to their faith. It was offered to him. But yet again, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi declined that I'm not fit for this position. The Amir al-Mu'mineen, becoming angry, said, "You're a liar." Now look at the sharpness of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. When the Amir al-Mu'mineen said that you're a liar, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, you yourself have just decided that I'm not fit for this position. Because if I'm a liar, then a liar cannot be appointed as a qazi, cannot be appointed as a judge." This was the sharpness of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. On another occasion, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was sitting inside the masjid, surrounded by his students. A group of kharijites came in, the students, on seeing the Kharijites fighting, began to run away. The Imam stopped them, consoled them, and told them to have no fear, and told them to retake their seats. The leader of Kharijites went to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and asked, "Who are you people?" Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi replied, "We are people seeking refuge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كَوَنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكْ فَأَجِرُ حَتَّى يَسْمَأَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أَبْلِهُ مَأْمَنَةً." That even if a politician asks for refuge, you should give him refuge so that he may hear the words of Allah, and then you should escort him to a place of safety. Now the Kharijites considered every Muslim that didn't belong to their sect as a kafir, and thus deserved to be put to death. And the reason this group came to the masjid was that they thought that they will ask Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi to declare his aqidah, to declare his belief by posing this question. And thus they will charge him with kufr and behead him, assassinate him. However, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, they came with the intention of killing Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. But Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, through his wisdom and sharpness, recited a verse of the Quran, that even if a politician seeks refuge, you should give him refuge and then escort him to a place of safety. They came with an intention of killing him. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, counter-attacking, has recited a verse which imposes an obligation on them to protect his life, to protect the life of his student, and then escort him to a place of safety. Astounded, the leader of the Kharijites was forced to order his men to recite the Quran aloud and then escort Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and his students to a place of safety. On another occasion, Bahaq, the Khariji leader who captured Kufa during the reign of the Umayyads, with a sword in his hand, came to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi on order Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi to repent, to make tawbah. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi asked, "You repent from what?" He remarked, "I've been told that you believe that when Sayyidina Ali had a dispute with Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, he agreed to have this dispute decided by arbitration. When he was in the right, how could he agree to arbitration?" Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, just look at the sharpness of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. This guy is pointing a sword to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, and this is what Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says to him. "If you already decided to put me to death, then it's pointless me saying anything. But if you wish to find out the truth, then permit me to argue the question with you." Bahaq agreed and said, "I also want to debate with you." Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi asked, "What if we cannot agree between us?
Then what will happen? The Hath replied, okay, we will appoint a third person. He will become an empire and he will decide who is right from amongst us. So what happened was, one of Dhahak's followers was appointed an umpire. When this was done, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah Ali said, okay, this is exactly what Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu did. So why blame Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu for it? If you could do it, and have done it, then why blame Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu for doing exactly the same thing? Outwitted, Dhahak, astounded, gobsmacked, lost for words, retired quietly. It was this natural gift and sharpness and intellect that helped to make Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh one of the greatest scholars of all time. Yet it is surprising to learn that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh in his early days was more interested in a business and was a very successful businessman, dealing in hundreds and thousands of dirham and dinaniyah. Then came some women which had such an impact on Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh that they changed the life of the great Imam. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh himself says, خَدَعَتْنِي إِمْرَأَةٌ وَفَكَّهَتْنِي أُخْرَى وَزَهَدَتْنِي أُخْرَى. That one woman conned me, a second made me a faqih, a jurist, and a third made me a zahid, an ascetic. As for the woman that conned me, what happened was, I was walking in the streets of Kufa, and there was a woman standing there, and she was pointing at something on the ground. Now I thought that this thing that she's pointing to belongs to her, so I came, and to help her, I picked this thing up, and I gave it to her. But she refused, saying, "Keish tafizbe, ke you look after it, and when the owner of this thing comes, give it to him, and if he doesn't come, find him, and then give it to him." This was the one that conned me. As for the one that made me a faqih, made me a jurist, it so happened that I was sitting in my shop one day, a woman came and posed a question with regards to divorce. How does one give a divorce according to the sunnah? I didn't know the answer. So I sent her to Imam Hamad requesting that on her return she informs me of the answer. He says that when she informed me of the answer. When she informed me of the answer, I felt so ashamed that I made firm intention to learn Islamic jurisprudence. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh from then took on Islamic jurisprudence and mastered this science so well in a short period of time that when Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh opened his school, most of the schools of Kufa closed down and became part of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh's school. Even his teachers like Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayh, Ibn Qadam, began to attend Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh's lectures and began to encourage others to attend the lectures of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. He became such a master, that he was able to answer questions and solve problems from the top of his head, which made masters of his time see stars and problems which the masters of his time were not able to answer. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh would be able to answer them from the top of his head. Muhammad ibn Muqatil relates on one occasion a man came to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh and posed a question which he posed to many scholars before who were unable to answer his question. He asked to Abu Hanifa, "Ma taqulu fi rajulin la yarju al-jannah wa la yakhafu Allah wa la yakhafu an-nar wa ya'kulu al-mayta ويصلي بلا ركوع ولا سجود ويشهد بما لا يرى ويبغض الحق ويحب الفتنة." Okay, what is your opinion with regards to a man? Okay, he doesn't hope for Jannah, nor does he fear Allah, nor does he fear the fire of hell. He eats dead meat, he prays without ruku and sajda, at the same time he testifies to what he has not seen, he dislikes that what is certain, the haqq. He loves fitna, and he runs away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi posed this very same question to his students. Some of his students replied that this person is a kafir, And these are the characteristics and attributes of the kafir. While others were unable to answer. Now Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was a very cautious man. And he wouldn't give the fatwa of kufr just like that. He was of the opinion that if there are 99 things which show a person that is a kafir, and there is only one thing that proves that a person is a Muslim, the latter will be given preference. So bearing this in mind, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi answered from the top of his head that this person is a believer, a true believer, and these are the characteristics of a believer. The ulama was shocked because many had given the fatwa of kufr and asked Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi to explain his answer. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi replied, when you say he doesn't hope for Jannah, one who is overpowered with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hopes to meet the Almighty Allah. And one who hopes to meet the Almighty Allah doesn't hope for Jannah. When you say he doesn't fear Allah, it means that he doesn't fear Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be unjust for him in his rule on the day of judgment. And when you say he doesn't fear hell, that is because he fears the Almighty Allah. One who fears Allah refrains from sin. One who refrains from sin becomes the inheritor of Jannah. Thus he has no need to fear the fire of hell. When you say that he eats animals that are not slaughtered, then I say he eats fish. Fish doesn't need to be slaughtered. And when you say he prays without ruku and sajda, then that is referring to his salatul janazah. That he plays salatul janazah and he presents himself there. And in salatul janazah there is no ruku and sajda. And when you say that he testifies to what he's not seeing, then I say he testifies. There is no God worthy of worship, but Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. And he has not seen Allah, and he has not seen Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you say he loves fitna, I say that he loves his family. He loves his wealth and children. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا أَنْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ fitna, that your children and your wealth are fitna. And when you say that he runs from the mercy of Allah, I say he runs from rain. Because rain is the mercy of Allah, and he runs from rain so that he doesn't become wet. When the ulama heard this remarkable answer, and the questioner heard this answer, he stood up and kissed Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi on his forehead, and said, I bear witness that you are a receptacle for knowledge. Let me just give you another example. Imam Amish rahmatullah alayhi was from amongst the masters of hadith and the tabi. He used to relate hadith, hundreds and thousands of hadith with their chains, off by heart without a book. He would never carry a book. He wasn't that handsome, whilst his wife was very beautiful. And she would always argue and fight with him, looking for a way to get divorced. So happened that on one night, after Isha, they had a very severe argument over something, as a result of which his wife stopped speaking to him. He tried every method to please her, but she wouldn't speak. Finally becoming angry, he took an oath that if you do not speak to me by tonight, then you will be divorced. Now he'd taken the oath, but when he cooled down and realized the consequences, thinking about his children, he regretted it bitterly. He went to one scholar, a second scholar, a third scholar, but nobody was able to help him. He finally went to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and related this whole incident to him. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, there is nothing to worry. What we'll do is get the muazzin of your masjid to say the adhan before dawn. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi went to the muazzin of his masjid and spoke to him directly and told him to give the adhan before dawn. Imam Amish rahmatullah alayhi went home and saw that his wife is all dressed up, packed, suitcases are there, waiting for the adhan so she could go to her family, she could go to her mother's house. When she heard the adhan, she spoke to him saying, oh, thank you Allah,
You have relieved me at last from this old man. Now Imam Amash rahmatullah alayhi replied, I also thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved me, has saved my marriage. As the muazzin has given adhan before dawn, and you've spoken to me before the night has ended, thus my condition is fulfilled, and thus no divorce. This was all due to the blessings of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. He was able to answer questions, and things would occur to him on the spur of the moment, which were beyond the ingenuity of common men.
On another occasion, once a man getting angry with his wife said to her on oath, I'm never going to speak to you till you speak to me. Now the woman was his match in temper, so she said exactly the same words, that I'm not going to speak to you till you speak to me. When the tempest cooled down, obviously they regretted what they both said. So the man went to Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi and related the whole incident and what he said to his wife. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi said that the only way out was for the man to make atonement for his oath. The man wasn't too pleased with his answer, and thus he went to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and related the whole incident. Okay, this is what he said to his wife, and his wife said this to him. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said to him, go and talk to each other. There is no question of atonement. Now when Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi got to know of what Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi had said, very angry, he went to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and reproached him for what he thought was an incorrect answer. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi sent for the very same man and asked him to say what he said. The man said what he said previously. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi gave him exactly the same answer, because there's no question of atonement. Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi asked Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi to explain why he has given this answer. So Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi explained that when the man said on oath that I'm not going to speak to you till you speak to me, and then when the woman replied, I'm also not going to speak to you till you speak to me, when the woman replied, she took the initiative in speaking to him. Thus the husband's condition is fulfilled. And because the husband's condition is fulfilled, there is no question of atonement. When Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi heard this answer, he said, O Abu Hanifa, things that occur to you on the spur of the moment are beyond the ingenuity of common men. I've just related two or three incidents to you. There are hundreds of incidents like this which prove how clever Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi really was. Questions that scholars of the time could not solve, people would come to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi would answer their questions. They would even come to him with questions not even pertaining to fiqh. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi would answer them questions for them. He was an absolute genius. Not just his intellect, everything was ajeeb about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Just look at his taqwa. The great Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, the teacher of the great Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, relates that once somebody's goat was stolen, and it ended up mixing up with the goat's belonging to the people of Kufa. Now Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi's taqwa was such that fearing that the meat of this stolen goat may end up in the markets of Kufa, and thus fearing in turn that it may end up on the table on the dasturkhan of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi asked the people, how long a goat of this nature can survive, can remain alive? He was informed that a goat like this can remain alive for 7 years. Thus it is stated, for 7 years, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi refrained from purchasing meat from the people of Kufa. In some books,
and traditions it is mentioned that during this very same period, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi saw a soldier. After having eaten meat, he threw the remainder portion in the river, fearing yet again, maybe this is the meat of that particular goat. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, it is also related that he stopped eating fish for a period of time. This was the taqwa of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Once an enemy slapped him, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi replied very humbly, that I could also slap you in the manner that you slapped me, but I will not do so. I could complain to the Khalif and report you, but yet again I will not do so. I could pray against you at the time of the Hajjat, but I will not do so. I can ask for justice on the Day of Judgment, but I will not do so. And I assure you that if I receive my record in my right hand and my intercession is accepted, then I assure you that I will not enter Jannah without you. This was Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. In some narration it is mentioned that a kafir owed some money to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh one day went to demand the payment. When all of a sudden he's realized there is some dirt on his slippers, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh took off the slipper and shook the slipper to take off the dirt. As he shook the slipper, the dirt flew off and landed onto the wall of that particular kafir. On seeing this, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi became very sad, that I can't leave this dirt on his house, and if I take it off, it is possible that some particles of the sand of his wall will come off in the process of removing this dirt. Thus, I will have caused some damage. Worried about this, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, as to what should be done, knocked on the door to ask the kafir. Now that the kafir thinking that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has come to demand the payment, he began to apologize and offer excuses. When Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi related the reason that he's come to ask as to what could be done with regards to this dirt, the kafir, on seeing the zuhud, the taqwa, the piety of the great Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi there, and then uttered the kalima, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله, that I testify there is no God worthy of worship, and I testify that truly Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Everything about Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi wa sajid. As for a third woman, وَأَمَّا الَّذِي زَهَدَتْنِي, that had an impact on Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi's life, was the one that made him an ascetic, that made him a zahid. It so happened that Imam Khwarizmi rahmatullah alayhi relates that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, as I was walking through the streets of Kufa one day, I happened to pass by a group of women. A woman whispered to the other as I was passing by, "Kahaba Abu Hanifa la yanamu layl." Do you know who this is? This is Imam Azam, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, the very person that doesn't sleep the night, the very person who reads his Salatul Fajr with the wudu that he had made for Salatul Isha. When Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi heard this, he said to himself, "Is this what people are thinking about me and saying about me? Yet I don't even do this, I don't even stay awake during the night. How can I meet the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a state? Wallahi, لو حققنا ظن الناس فيها, by Allah, I will live up to their expectations." And it was from then that the nights of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi became for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that Ibn Qadam relates, "I went to the masjid of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, and I saw that the great Imam, after having read Salatul Fajr, sat down and began to teach the people the deen, and kept on doing so right till Salatul Dhuhr. There was a short break for Salatul Dhuhr. After Salatul Dhuhr, yet again, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh takes his place. Come Salatul Asr, come Salatul Maghrib, keeps on teaching right till Salatul Isha. He reads his Salatul Isha, and then leaves for home. He says, a thought comes to mind, surely this man who spends the whole day conveying the message of Allah and his messenger Muhammad Rasulullah, teaching the people the deen, teaching the people the Masail, whose mind is occupied with the Masail 24/7, surely this man won't have the time to wake up for tahajjud and won't have the time for nawafil during the night." He says, as this thought was crossing my mind, all of a sudden I realized that the whole masjid is empty, everybody has left the mosque and gone to their houses, and Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has returned to the masjid. He has changed his clothes, he's wearing itar,
and he stands up for prayer in one corner of the masjid and begins to recite the Quran. He keeps on reciting the Quran. He has read 1/7 of the Quran, and now a thought comes to mind, surely now he will go into ruku, but he doesn't go into ruku. He keeps on reading till he's read 1/3 of the Quran. Yet again I think now he's going to go into ruku, but yet again he doesn't. He's read 1/2 of the Quran, yet again I think now he's going into ruku, yet again he doesn't. He keeps on reading till he's recited the whole Quran, and thus Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi completes his prayer. At dawn, he returns home, he does what he has to do, and yet again he returns for Salatul Fajr and reads Salatul Fajr with Jama'ah. I thought, surely today he's not going to do exactly what he did yesterday. Surely now he's tired. He says, come the second day, and yet again Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi after Salatul Fajr sits down and teaches the people and keeps on doing so right till Salatul Isha. And come the night, yet again the people have left and Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has returned to the masjid, and yet again he recites the whole Quran in prayer. Come the third day, and yet again I see that the third day exactly like the first and the second, the day he spends inside the masjid conveying the message of Allah, teaching the people the deen, teaching the solving their problems, teaching them masail, and the night he's standing before the Almighty Allah in prayer and he completes the whole Quran in prayer. When I saw this, it says, then I made firm intentions that I will stay with this person, I will stay in his company, and I will benefit from him, and I will learn from him right till I die. Ibn Qadam says, I remained in his masjid, and in my entire stay, never a day passed in which Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was not fasting, and nor a single night passed in which Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi didn't stand before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prayer. Yes, there is one thing I did see, that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was asleep for a short while before Salatul Dhuhr. The person who relates this tradition, Ibn Qadam, was not a normal person. He was such a master that he himself died in the masjid of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi in the state of sajda while he was prostrating before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Asad ibn Amr relates that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, for 40 years Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said his morning prayer with the wudu that he made for Salatul Isha. And normally every night Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi will finish the Quran once in prayer. And in the month of Ramadan, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi not once but twice will finish the Quran in the month of Ramadan 60 times. He also narrates that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has performed Hajj 55 times and he has completed 7,000 readings of the Quran. Allahu Akbar, 7,000 readings of the Quran Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has completed in the place that he passed away. It is because of this worship, constant weep and standing before the Almighty Allah in prayer that the likes of Salihi relate that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was called a peg. An incident is related with regards to this, that when Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi died, one of his neighbors, the son, asked the father, يا أبتي أين تلك الدعامة التي كنت أراها كل ليلة في سطح أبي أنيفة بالليل. Oh father, where is that pillar that I would see on the roof of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi every night? It is no longer there. Where is it gone? The father replied, يا بنية, oh my son, that wasn't the pillar. That was the pillar of deen, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, who would stay awake during the night and stand before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi remained right till he died. This is why Khwarizmi relates naharu Abi Hanifa lil ifada wa laylu Abi Hanifa lil ibada, that the days of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh were to benefit the people, and the nights of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh were to benefit himself, were to stand before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh remained right till he died, and he died in the state of sajda while he was bowing down, prostrating before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So accepted Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was by the masses, that it is related that people read Salatul Janazah at his grave continuously for 20 days. People would come and offer their Salatul Janazah and they would go. Not only did the people cry when Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi left this world, even the jinn shed tears. It is related that voices could be heard, people could not be seen. It was the jinn saying, ذَهَبَ الْفِقْهُ فَلَا فِقْهَ لَكُمْ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَكُونُوا خَلَفَا مَاتَ نُعْمَانُ فَمَنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يُحْيِي اللَّيْلَ إِذَا مَا سَجَفَا. Islamic jurisprudence has come to an end, fiqh has come to an end, you have no jurist left, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become kun khalaf. Nu'man has died, who will now stay awake during the night before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? People saw beautiful dreams after Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi died. Not one. Many people saw beautiful dreams. The likes of Abu Mu'az, the likes of Suddi ibn Tarha, the likes of Jad Tammar, the likes of Ja'far ibn Hussein, rahmatullah alayhi, saw a deep dreams. Ibn Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi relates on the authority of Muhammad ibn Abu Raja. But after Imam Muhammad, I saw Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi in a dream and I asked, oh Abu Abdullah, that was the kunniyat of Imam Muhammad. Oh Abu Abdullah, how did it go with you, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He replied, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I intended not to punish you. I asked, how is Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi? He replied, Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi is above me. I asked, how did it go with Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi? He replied, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is well beyond us. He is in the illiyin. This was Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. An absolute master in every respect. And such was the respect that Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi had for Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, that it is related, Imam Nabi relates in his work Al-Minhaj, that on one occasion, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi read his Salatul Fajr next to the Imam's grave. But he did not read Dua ya Qanut, and at the same time he didn't recite Bismillah aloud. Yet Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi was of the opinion that Dua ya Qanut should be read and Bismillah should be read aloud. But on that occasion he did not read it. When asked as to why he left this out and as to why he didn't read Bismillah aloud, he replied that out of respect for the Shaykh in this grave that I have left it on this occasion and I have not recited it. Such was the respect that Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak had, that tears would flow from his eyes and he would say, oh Abu Hanifa, you have not let anyone that can take care of the work like yourself. This was the respect the ulama and the masters had for Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. And today look at our youngsters. They are ridiculing and they are mocking our Salafus Salihin, the great masters of the past. I conclude by saying, to speak ill about any Muslim, the consequence of such an evil is detrimental. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَاتٍ وَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ سَخَطِ اللَّهِ لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي جَهَنَّمَ. Yet sometimes a person utters a word, he doesn't think much of what he has uttered, but such is the consequence of such a word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised his ranks in Jannah. And sometimes a person utters a word, just one word from the displeasure of Allah, he doesn't think much about it, but such is the consequence of this one word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala him right in the fire of hell. The consequence of speaking ill about a Muslim is detrimental. Never mind speaking ill about the Salafus Salihin, about the great masters of the past, the Imam Mujtahideen, the Muhaddithin, the Mufassireen, and the Fuqaha. It is an attribute of a Muslim that he refrains from doing such a thing. As the consequence of such an evil is detrimental, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Man aada li waliyan faqad barazani bil halb. Whoever keeps enmity, degrades, mocks, speak ill, becomes an enemy of any friend of mine, of any wali, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I declare war with such a person. And you know what the outcome will be of such a person who declares war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَلِبُونَ. And on this I conclude saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq to respect our elders and value what they did for the ummah and what they did for you and I. You and I are Muslims today because of our Salafus Salihin. They were the ones that conveyed the Quran to us. They were the ones that conveyed the deen to us. They were the ones that conveyed the sunnah and the ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gives me the tawfiq to act upon what I have said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the tawfiq to act upon what he said. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.